Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great weekend. We had a wonderful weekend at First Baptist Church and for From His Heart Ministries. We had a big celebration, From His Heart Ministries. I started that 20 years ago in November of 2004. So we're having our 20th anniversary, and we had a very special dinner for the people that have been with us for a long period of time and really, really have made a difference in the ministry. And just to say thank you, I remember the two guys that were at my kitchen table. They provided the initial funding for the ministry to get off the ground. It was $35,000 total that we had when we started, which is not very much. I didn't know how much you needed to do a media ministry, radio, television, online, and I thought we were in pretty good shape at $35,000. I learned quickly that that wasn't near enough money you need to get a ministry going. And a friend of mine told me, he said, they'd been in the business a long time, Carl Townsend, he said, you need about $500,000 to get this to work, to get this off the ground. I was like, good night, how am I going to do that? But fast forward 20 years, God has provided, and we're seeing lives changed all over the nation, all over the world, as we preach the gospel and speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. So we give the Lord all the praise for that. And then Sunday, we had just a great day worshiping the Lord, great time of singing and hearing about destroying strongholds. That's what I preached on. We're in a series on spiritual warfare. I'm calling it, This Is War. This is war, overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we talked about spiritual warfare and destroying strongholds. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, for the pulling down, the tearing down of strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so we'll get into that a little bit this morning. But I wanted to read to you from Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32 is that's the golden calf chapter. Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments from God, communing with God. What are the people doing? They're down on the ground, and they had seen the mighty power of God through the Red Sea and then what God did on Mount Sinai. But it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the hand of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron says, give me the gold that you have, earrings and rings and things like that. And he fashioned a golden calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Such idolatry, such a blasphemous thing to do and to say, such a slap in God's face. You know, commandment number one, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make an idol, an image of God. They broke the first two commandments right there. They took the name of the Lord, their God, in vain as they attached it to this idol. It was just sickening. And so God said, hey, Moses, the people have defiled themselves. Go down there and I'm going going to wipe them out. Moses interceded for them. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And then Moses intercedes. He pleads on behalf of the people, and the Lord relents concerning the disaster he said he would bring upon them. But then Moses goes down and sees what is happening. He's angry as righteous indignation had overtaken him, and he's angry at Aaron that he let the people run amok. And it says this, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp, and he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. Who is on the Lord's side, as the King James puts it? That's a good question. Who is on the Lord's side? You know, everybody's talking about the election, the biggest election of our history as a country, and the greatest election of our lives. It is every time, because things just keep getting more and more out of whack and more perilous. And that's what the Lord said was going to happen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, perilous times, dangerous times. And that's those are the times we are living in. But you ask yourself the question, okay, as I get ready to vote, and I know many people have already voted, but who's on the team? Who am I lining up with? I think that's a legit question that Christians, you know, you have this group called Evangelicals for Harris. And it's like, okay, one pastor in the Dallas area posted on X just, I think, yesterday or Saturday, I'm a conservative evangelical pastor, and I'm voting for Harris. And people obviously took issue with him and said, well, you're neither conservative nor evangelical if you're voting for Harris. Now, I commented on the guy's post and said, interesting. I said, look to see who's on your team. And so you say, okay, I'm going to go for this candidate, whether it's Trump, whether it's Harris. If I'm going for Harris, who's on my team? Who am I joining in that cause to get her elected? Who's for Kamala Harris? Well, Hamas. Hamas is for Kamala Harris. They want her to win. They don't want Trump to win. Hamas knows that she's sympathetic to their cause, and doesn't see them as evil, that, you know, an ideology that needs to be eradicated from the face of the earth. So Hamas is for her, Russia's for her. Putin would much rather go up against her than Donald Trump, no doubt. China would be for her. North Korea would be for her. They'd love to see her be the president. Planned Parenthood, the baby killers, they're all in the tank for her, giving her a lot of money, you know, come to the Democrat National Convention, and just within 2 miles set up their mobile baby killing unit, and we're rejoicing that they got to kill 25 babies in the days of the Democrat National Convention. The Hollywood elites, we've been seeing those commercials, Will Ferrell and J-Lo and others of the P. Diddy crowd. They're all for her. Child mutilators, those who would espouse the need that we have to help those who are confused, those adolescents, those children that really think they're in the wrong body. We need to help boys castrate them and have surgery on them so that they can become girls, and girls so that they can become boys. And you talk about destroying somebody's life at the starting gate. That's definitely going to do it. And I like what somebody posted. They said, hey, be careful. When people talk to you about misinformation and that we need to come down hard on misinformation, it's the same people who are telling you that biological males can become females and biological females can become males. They're not the ones to tell us anything about misinformation. You talk about people that are so upside down, people that have a reprobate mind, it's those people. Well, the child mutilators, they're on the team. Rapists, thieves, rioters, looters, arsonists, communists, they're on the team. Apostates are on the team. And so who is on the Lord's side? Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord is not picking sides here as far as, I'm on this guy's team. You know, it's like Joshua said in Joshua chapter 5 when he's getting ready to go up against Jericho. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? As he met the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? It's an honest question. And the angel of the Lord said, no, but I come as captain of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua bowed down low. And the Lord said, take your shoes off, Joshua, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. The Lord is not, not saying, I'm on this person's side or that person's side. We need to get on his side. So the question holds, who is on the Lord's side? Of those two candidates, who is on the Lord's side? Well, we could say neither is on the Lord's side, really. I mean, I don't believe for a moment that any of those four people that are on the top of the tickets are born-again believers. But you have one that's anti-God and one that's open to God, and that is a huge difference. You have one when a student in the crowd, a college student in the crowd, yells out, Jesus as Lord, where Kamala Harris says, you're at the wrong rally. You need to go to the smaller rally down the street. And then she kind of patted herself on the back that she made a joke that she didn't read off the teleprompter. And then you have J.D. Vance, when they yelled out, Christ is King, he said, that's right, Christ is King. And you have President Trump, who loves for people to pray for him, and he welcomes that, and he welcomes Christians and in this preaching of the gospel. He is not coming down on that. He's not saying, hey, you elect me and I'm going to put a kibosh on free speech. And so that's one of the reasons Elon Musk is so supportive of President Trump, because he realizes how important it is for us to have free speech. I don't know if you saw the interview that he did with Don Lemon. I think he used to go by Lemon, but it's Lemon, I think. Anyway, they were going back and forth, and Don Lemon was telling him, we need to police this because you can't let misinformation out there. And Elon Musk says, well, I'm for free speech and I'm going to let you speak. And it's like, well, what about somebody that says something about child pornography or something like that? And he said, well, I'm not for crime. If you say something criminal, I'm not going to, we're going to take that down. We're not going to let you commit a crime on the X platform. But if you're saying that there's something wrong with the COVID vaccine and here are alternatives to the COVID vaccine, that's not misinformation. That's not hate speech. If you read from the Bible and you read the holiness code in Leviticus and you say a man shall not lie with a man as one lies with a woman, it is an abomination. That's not hate speech. That's coming from the God of love. And those on the left would tell us, well, that is hate speech. You can't say that. And we're going to police that. We're going to make sure you can't say that. Big, big issue in this election. Well, who is on the Lord's side between these two candidates? It's not, is the Lord on their side? It's who is on the Lord's side? We have one that's obviously not on the Lord's side. I mean, just without question, not on the Lord's side. And then you have one that is much more open to the Lord's side. You know, as you've heard, we don't have a great choice, but this is the choice we have before us. And come Tuesday or the days that follow, because we haven't figured out in 2024 how to count votes on one day. It's crazy. I'm going to talk about that more when we come back from the break. But sometime in probably the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to find out who is president. It's either going to be Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, president, vice president, or it's going to be Donald Trump and J.D. Vance as president and vice president. And what's going to happen? What is going to happen in the in the aftermath, if Harris is president or if Trump is president. Interesting things to consider. We're going to talk about those when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are looking at that question from the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Who is on the Lord's side? He's not on our side. He didn't come to choose sides. He came to take over. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the question, who is on the Lord's side? That was the question that Moses asked the children of Israel in Exodus 32 when they sinned so greatly with the golden calf. Who is on the Lord's side? It's not about who is Jesus on Harris's side or is Jesus on Trump's side. It's who is on the Lord's side. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are to align our lives with Him. Well, I did a little research this morning. I like to go on X and see what people are talking about and what is a hot topic on that social media page. And one of the things that is a hot topic is too big to rig. We've been hearing a lot of that, too big to rig, and we want to have an election where so many turn out. This is from Trump's side. So many turn out to vote for Trump and J.D. Vance that the Democrats can't steal it. I don't think that there are very many honest, fair-minded people who don't believe that there is cheating going on. There was cheating going on in 2020 at unprecedented levels, and there's cheating going on today. I had Rafael Cruz on just a week or so ago, and he said there's always been cheating. That's Ted Cruz's dad. He said there's always been cheating, but he said now we just have to get the vote out to such an extent that it's quote-unquote too big to rig. Now, there was an interview done by Ron Johnson, Senator of Wisconsin, and this is what he had to say concerning that topic.
Democrats oppose every measure to restore confidence in our election system. I don't want a partisan advantage. I just want to restore confidence that no matter who wins, everybody accepts it legitimate. Democrats are opposed to voter ID. 80% of Americans believe that. They're opposed to the SAVE Act. You know, prove that you're a citizen. So, again, they want to make it easy to cheat, which in my mind signals they want to cheat, and we have evidence that they do cheat. So that's just irrefutable. The question is, are we just seeing the tip of the iceberg? And, for example, all these illegal immigrants that have been registered to vote sometimes without their knowledge. What about the smurfing? Millions of dollars flowing in through Act Blue, being donated by individuals without their knowledge. Tens of thousands of donations per individual, resulting in hundreds of thousands of dollars. Clearly a crime. FBI Director Wray was completely oblivious to it. So again, I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. I know they want to make it easy to cheat. I think they want to cheat. I think they do cheat, which is why we keep saying we need such an overwhelming landslide where really the result is too big to rig.
Too big to rig. That was Ron Johnson. He is the senator from Wisconsin. And so I was listening to a clip from Bill Maher, who has the program on HBO where he sits down and talks about things. You know, he's the big liberal, but I will give him credit because he calls out the liberal media when they try and blow up things like what Trump said about Liz Cheney. You know, it's easy for her behind a desk to send men out to war, young men out to war. And he said, what if you put a gun in her hand and had guns pointed at her, let her go out to war, then she might think differently about it. Well, they've tried to say that Donald Trump wants to execute Liz Cheney. Well, Bill Maher said he didn't say that. Come on, let's be realistic. He's just saying, you know, he's saying exactly what he said. Hey, it's easy behind a desk. You know, it's easy to quarterback the football team when you're sitting in your den, in your recliner watching and saying, well, if I had been quarterback, I would have done this or I would have done that or I would have done the other. Armchair quarterback. Yeah, armchair quarterback is easy. You get in there and do it and find out how hard it is. But here's the thing. He said, well, we want to have voter ID laws and voter integrity laws, and the Democrats vote against it every single time. Why would they do that? So Bill Maher says, well, you know, if Trump loses, he's going to immediately say they cheated. Well, yeah, he is going to say that. Why? Because we don't have confidence that the election is free and fair. So set up the laws. Let's make it free and fair. Hey, if Kamala Harris is freely and fairly elected as president, then we would say, okay. I mean, conservatives wouldn't like it, but they would have to say, okay, that she won fair and square. But if you don't win fair and square, if you cheated, well, that's just horrific. And I think that they ought to make laws for election cheating, where if you're caught and convicted of cheating in an election, of voting multiple times, of altering and hacking in the computer systems and changing votes, I think you ought to spend at least 5 years in federal prison, maybe more. I mean, they ought to make the penalty stiff so that people will think twice about, hey, I'll pay you $25, $35 an hour to do this and to stuff ballot boxes and the like. They would think twice about doing that. So if Kamala Harris wins, that you're going to hear that. They cheated. And there's an easy way to fix that. You say, hey, we're going to fix the ballot system. We're going to require voter IDs, ID laws. You have to show proof of who you are before you get a ballot. And paper ballots. Here's your paper ballot. Here's your number two pencil. And you're going to mark who you're voting for. We're getting away from computers because computers can be hacked and computers can be altered. And it's hard to, as Elon Musk says, hey, if you don't provide voter ID, you're making the vote impossible to audit. You know, they audit the vote to make sure that it's correct, but you can get away from ever proving that anything was done illegally if you don't require IDs. So that's a big concern. Now, if Trump wins and it is too big to rig and, you know, he wins by this sizable amount, well, I think that will be because Christians prayed to God. I think this system is rigged. And so I think it'll take an intervention from God to give us more time as a nation. To hear the gospel and to respond to the gospel. But what are the people on the team? Who's on the Lord's side? What are the people on Kamala Harris's team going to do if she loses? Well, you know what they're going to do. Not my president. They're going to riot. They're going to loot. They're going to destroy property. They're going to set fire on things. They're going to try and destroy cities. We've seen this. This is not anything new. And what is CBS and ABC and NBC and MSNBC and CNN? What are they going to say about it? Well, it's mostly peaceful protests. That's what they're going to say. And no doubt they would say, well, Trump cheated. Yeah, right. Trump cheated. Trump's the one that wants to have voter ID laws. He's the one that wants to have paper ballots. He's the one that wants to make the ballot box as tight as it can possibly be so that there would be election integrity. Too big to rig. I don't know about that, but I do know this, as we talked about in church yesterday. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations, humanistic ideologies, and lies, speculations and lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. These high-sounding things that are anti-God. We're destroying those things. How do we destroy them? Not in the flesh. We destroy them with the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God. And one of the major weapons, obviously, the Word of God, and take the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 says, which is the Word of God. It's the only offensive weapon, or the first offensive weapon that's listed in the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. And then right under that, it talks about prayer and pray. And so what is one of our big weapons that often gets left behind It's the weapon of prayer. Yes, the Word of God. And we need to speak the truth in love and use the Word of God. It's the word that's used in Greek when it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is a dagger. It's a short sword. It's not a long sword. The soldiers would have these long broad swords, and then they'd have a short sword when they were in hand-to-hand combat. Take the sword of the Spirit, Makaira, which is the Word of God, which is the Rhema of God, not Logos. Logos is Word. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's primarily used for the Word of God, Logos, L-O-G-O-S. But this is a Rhema, an utterance. It's a word from the Word. And so we know the Word of God so that we can have a piece of the Word just ready to go at any moment for the specific instance we are in. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so we pray. And, you know, there's today at 6 o'clock, I don't know who organized it, but 6 o'clock, your time, whatever your time is, we're asking Christians around the world to pray and to ask the Lord, God, be merciful to us, and God, that your will would be done. That's part of the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for God's will to be done. Now, do you think Planned Parenthood is praying for God's will to be done? I mean, you have to be very sick and twisted if you start thinking that we are doing the will of God every time we rip an unborn baby to pieces in the womb. I mean, if that's not demonic, satanic, evil with a capital E-V-I-L, I don't know what is. And it's just sickening. And you probably saw the videos of these women playing the drums, these big drums like in a marching band, and they're marching and they're beating their drums for the right, for reproductive rights, as they call it. But it's basically the right to murder, brutally murder the unborn, their own children, ripping them apart piece by piece by piece. It is sickening, and it is awful. So we pray, and we ask God to intervene, and we ask God to give us more time as a nation so that we wouldn't be destroyed. I think that America is going to be destroyed, going to be judged by God. I don't know when that is, but I know God is going to judge the nations, and to whom much has been given shall much also be required. And because of abortion, because of our rejection of God's word, God's will, and God's ways as a nation, and because we celebrate homosexuality, and we celebrate all sorts of perversion, and we celebrate as a nation drag queens, and we're just so upside down, and we celebrate illegal immigration, and we celebrate the criminal, and we criminalize the victim. I mean, we're woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's our nation today. And that's going to bring the judgment of God. You know, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. But if you look and study the history of Nineveh, they eventually were destroyed. God delayed his judgment, but the judgment finally came. I've been reading in Jeremiah, and the Lord used Babylon to discipline his people. But then he said, and now I'm going to judge Babylon for all their sins. And God is going to judge America for all our sins. And because we've been given much, much is to be required of us. And I believe that, and I'm praying for a great revival to hit America. And my personal feeling is it's not going to change the direction of the nation, but it will change people's eternity forever, their eternal destiny. It's going to change that, because many people, boys and girls and men and women, will come to Christ. That's my prayer. And that's the desire of God. Do I have Do I take pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord? Obviously not. Therefore, repent and live. That's what God is looking for. And that's why when Nineveh responded to the Lord in the way that they did with sackcloth and ashes and cried out for mercy and turned from their evil ways and cried out to God for mercy, God gave them mercy and God gave them grace because God is gracious and merciful and full of compassion. When he met Moses in Exodus 34, Moses, Lord, show me your glory. Okay, I'll show you my glory, the backside of my glory. No one can see my face and live. And he passed by and he said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to worship the Lord. God is a good God, and God responds to genuine repentance. And I pray that for America. And I want to encourage you as you pray, and our church is open all day today, the worship center, for people to come in and just pray. You know, take off on their lunch break and say, I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm going to pray and pray for America and pray that we would get on the Lord's side and God would be merciful to us. Well, we are close to a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I would love to hear from you. And let me just tell you, we are having our National Collection Week now through November 25th, Operation Christmas Child. Shoebox Sunday is what we call it at First Baptist Texarkana. That's coming up on November 17th. But all this month through November 25th at American Family Radio, we are promoting Operation Christmas Child, packing a shoebox and making the difference in the life of a child somewhere around the world. We can have a great impact. You can visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, Operation Christmas Child. Well, we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Did say something earlier in the program. I thought he changed the pronunciation of his name to Lemon. I don't know. Maybe I dreamed that. But I've been told by people that know that it's still Don Lemon. Although Jenna Ellis said, I think it's not pronounced Lemon or Lemon, it's pronounced Moron. That's a little Jenna Ellis humor. I thought it was pretty funny. But Don Lemon, when he was having that conversation with Elon Musk about free speech. So I stand corrected on the pronunciation of his name. Well, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And listen, I know that many are nervous about this election, but regardless of who wins, Jesus is Lord, and the Lord is coming back, and one day he's going to set up his kingdom, and there will be no more elections. It is King Jesus, and he rules with a rod of iron. He is gracious and compassionate and loving and all wise and all knowing, but you have rebellion during the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus, and he will deal swiftly with the rebellion. So until that time, we stand up for what is right. We look to see who is on the Lord's side. And between the candidates, we ask our question, okay, which one of these platforms is closer to the Lord's side? And we vote accordingly. And I take a tremendous issue with these guys, evangelicals for Harris, because I don't think they are able to discern what the Lord's side really is, because the Lord's side is definitely not for those things such as the murder of the unborn, the mutilation of confused children, the drag queens, and the LGBTQ agenda, and all those other moral issues that are so devastating. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Lee on the line from Illinois. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Hi, Pastor Jeff. First of all, I'd like to say how much I appreciate your daily program, both in the morning and evening on AFR. And I often Thank listen you. On my way to and from work. I especially thought the sermon from the end of last week was very good. Pastor Jeff, I attend a very biblically sound church here in the Chicago suburbs with excellent expository preaching. One thing I've noticed, however, is a general lack of guidance from the church on political issues. No sermons, no voter guides, no emails about a Christian response to who or what is on the ballot, not even any mention of the election in the written announcements. I talked at length with a member of the church leadership, and he said this was intentional. He said that we can't put our trust in government officials, and the primary purpose of the local church was to equip the members to live out and spread the gospel, and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with that. He said the church won't discourage people from getting involved, but they won't tell people what to do. One of the elders did say from the pulpit yesterday that no matter who wins the election, our God is still on the throne and he is sovereign. But I'll have to go to another church on Tuesday for prayer because my church isn't doing anything special. And I don't know if I should make a big deal of this, write an email to the elders or something, or simply accept that my church will help me in studying God's word, but for guidance in other areas, I need to look elsewhere. Wondering your thoughts.
Yeah, well, lots of thoughts there, Lee. I think about what Eric Metaxas said about, you know, what did the church do during the rise of Adolf Hitler? So many of them. He talked about 18,000 pastors, 3,000 were for Hitler, 3,000 against Hitler, and 12,000 just stayed out of it. They stayed on the sidelines. And he said if those guys had stood up for righteousness, Hitler never would have been able to do what he did. And so my friend Bill Federer wrote the book Silence Equals Consent. You know, at a wedding, we have that. If anybody knows why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. Silence equals consent. Numbers 30 talks about that. If you don't speak up, you're complicit in that evil. And we know that statement, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And so I think that is this idea that we just stay out of it. You know, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, that's true. And our citizenship is in heaven. Well, that's true. But right now we're sojourners here on the earth. And Jeremiah 29, you know, the Lord says to the exiles in Babylon, hey, you need to seek for the welfare of the city. You need to set down roots. You're there in Babylon now for 70 years. You can't just live out of your suitcase like I'm leaving at any moment. You're not leaving at any moment. And, you know, as you probably have heard, pastors have said this, hey, we're to be salt and light. And so if we're going to be salt and we keep ourselves in the salt shaker or away from the fish, away from the meat, well, no, you have to put the salt in with the meat. And one of the ways that we do that is getting involved in the political process and in what is going to happen in our country. My friend Bishop E.W. Jackson says, you know, in your own home, you wouldn't let certain things take place in your home. Hopefully you have standards for your kids and you're saying, hey, this is going to be acceptable. This is unacceptable. And this language is acceptable. This language is unacceptable. And so he said that's for your home because that's where you live. Well, just broaden that. America is where we live. It's our country. And so to not have anything to do with it and say that God doesn't have anything to say to the country and pastors have nothing to say to their congregations about what the whole nation is talking about and what's on the minds of every single person. They come to church and they say, well, is the Lord involved in this? Obviously not. He doesn't care. Well, he does care. And Christians need to care, and pastors need to stand up and speak up for what is right. If your pastor's not talking about abortion and the evils of abortion, if he's not talking about this transgender insanity, if he's not talking about the need for freedom of speech and freedom of worship, if he's not talking about those things, that we need to preserve those things in America, well, he's complicit, and silence equals consent. And so those would be my thoughts, Lee. I'd get pretty fired up on that. And, you know, I think just a lot of guys, they just, hey, I'm just going to remain neutral. And so you can't ding me too bad because I'm not saying anything about it. Well, you need to stand up and be counted. And if you're not willing to do that, then in my estimation, it sounds like you're a coward. Because you need to stand up and speak up, and you need to ask the congregation who is on the Lord's side. What does the Lord's side look like? And would the Lord be for these issues? As John MacArthur said, hey, the platform of the Democrats, it comes straight out of the sins of Romans chapter 1. Would the Lord be for that? Obviously not. Now, the Republicans are not great, but between the two, I used to liken it to this. Would you rather have Ebola or a bad case of the flu? Well, a bad case of the flu, I might, you know, I probably have a good chance of getting over that. If I get Ebola, I'm probably going to die. And so if you give me a choice between those two things and say you're going to have one or the other, you choose, I'm going to choose a bad flu over Ebola. And I think that, you know, we talk about choosing the lesser of two evils. Well, people don't like that, but that is the issue that we have before us. So, you know, Lee, I'm glad you love your church, but that would be a hard pill for me. I would let that be known to the pastor what I think about that. People come to me and they'll tell me, hey, you're too political. You shouldn't talk about these things. But I think those things need to be talked about.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Pastor. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Lee. God bless you, brother. We have Charles on the line from Kentucky. Charles, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. Thank you for your even-handed coverage, and thank you for keeping the faith. We appreciate it out here.
Thank you.
Just a brief comment. There seems to be, if you follow polls and if you follow opinion pieces and all, there seems to be a significant portion of Americans who seem to think that it's okay to let anybody who wants to vote, vote. Any number of ballots that can be cast, no verification, no legality, no rules, nothing. And I've been voting for over 40 years, and this is why I think tomorrow's election might just be the deciding factor about whether or not liberty stands, or right, whether or not liberty is allowed to die, whether or not people can choose who they want to govern them, or whether they allow who has power to rule over them. I sincerely believe tomorrow's election is maybe the first one and the last one, at least in my lifetime, where people, it's not just about the candidates that we're selecting. It's about making a choice about whether or not you have a choice,
right,
or are able to make a choice in the future. So if anyone believes and anyone continues to keep faith, faith without action is nothing.
Right.
Get up and take a stand while you still can.
Right. That's a good word. You know, Elon Musk said that. He said, I think if Kamala Harris wins, I don't think we'll have any more elections. I think they'll give amnesty to all the illegal aliens, and they'll give them the right to vote, and they'll make sure they vote blue, and they'll turn all those swing states blue, and we become California. We become a one-party state, and it's impossible to overcome that, and that'll be devastating. And so we have an opportunity now. It's just like what Eric Metaxas said. Hey, in Germany, you know, back during the time of Hitler, they had a chance, an opportunity to stop him, but because those 12,000 pastors chose to remain silent, like our last caller said, his church in the Chicago area chooses to remain silent. Well, we're just going to sit on the sidelines. Well, things went in Hitler's way, and then he seized power, and then he just silenced and murdered his detractors. And at that point, you know, it's just you're just God. We have nothing. We've let all our freedoms go because we were asleep at the switch, and we trust you. But the Lord was saying. I believe he would say, hey, why didn't you stand up when you had the opportunity? Because you didn't. These are the consequences, and they're devastating. So thank you, Charles. I appreciate that. We have Mildred on the line from Arkansas. Mildred, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. I appreciate you and your wife.
I just want
to say that anybody that votes for Kamala Harris and her guy is voting for the Queen of Death.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah. We need to wake up. She was saying that if you oppose abortion, she actually said this, those who oppose abortion and a woman's right to get vital medical care, that's what she calls abortion, vital medical care. She said that is immoral. It's immoral if we don't help a woman murder her child. That's how upside down she is. I posted on Twitter yesterday, or X, and I said, this woman's moral compass is broken. Now, I don't believe Donald Trump's moral compass is broken. And for Romans 13, what's the government supposed to do? It's supposed to punish evildoers. Well, if you have no concept and no clue of what is an evildoer, what is right and what is wrong, you can't govern. And it's hard to live in a world like that that's totally upside down, that where evil is good and good is evil. So you're exactly right, Mildred. Thanks for calling in. We have Roxanne on the line from Texas. Roxanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call, and I do so appreciate you. I listen to you 99% of every day.
Thank you.
Anyways, I've been wanting to ask a question. Do you know what I mean when I say that pastors that preach series, like for weeks, they'll just preach the same topic,
right.
But it also coordinates with like our Sunday school lessons.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it's a program rather than, you know, just asking God what he wants for him to preach. And I've always had that question since it started happening at my church, because my pastor does not speak of anything of the issues. He'll pray in his prayer. He'll mention it, but not actually the topics of what is going on out there.
Right.
And one other thing, I have my opinion is that overnight the polls changed. And I think that's to get us prepared for her winning.
Right.
But my real question is that preaching by series rather than, or like a program rather than right. seeking God.
Well, I think I preach in series. I think people appreciate a series in terms of this is the theme. But there, if something happens, you have a 9/11 or something like that, you need to break into your series and talk about what everybody is talking about. I preached a sermon, we just aired it yesterday, on the election to prepare people for that. I think spiritual warfare is always a vital theme to let people know, hey, we're being attacked by the world of flesh and the devil. This is how you overcome. And they can be topical in the passages that you're using. But people do respond well, I think, to a theme. Well, we're out of time. Thanks so much for calling. Hey, go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray, pray, pray. I'll be with you tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.